Now, lots of you bring stories to us every day of the week. The email, nolan@bbc.co.uk. The whole function of this programme is to represent you, is to fight for you, is to ask for questions on your behalf. Felicity has brought us a story. Health is a big issue at the moment, Felicity. Tell us what happened to you and a waiting list that you were on and the impact of your life on your life, Felicity. Good morning.
Hi, Stephen. Well, I've been on multiple waiting lists in Northern Ireland for multiple years, and it got to a point where I actually was visiting a friend in England, ended up in hospital there, and the doctor described the situation and my care in Northern Ireland as tantamount to palliative. He suggested that.
What did he mean by that?
Basically, because one of my conditions causes me to go into hospital with electrolyte imbalances, this can cause you to go into cardiac arrest, coma, death, it can be very serious. And I was sometimes having four separate overnight admissions to hospital per week with this condition. Since moving to Wales, I get one top-up, so like one infusion every 2 weeks, and it keeps me out of hospital. The change has been, you know, life-changing. It's a massive improvement to my quality of life. And I couldn't access that in Northern Ireland, and it wasn't for lack of trying. But on top of that, I was on waiting list for rheumatology, gastric, mental health, pain management. You name it, I was probably on the list for it. And I couldn't get to the end of them. Or if you got to the end of them, they would say, well, this isn't the actual specialty you need. Someone should have referred you to this list. And so it was sort of like a never-ending kind of hamster wheel of going round and round and round, trying to find somebody who could join up all the dots. And it's simply because there isn't the staff on the ground, and that's not their fault. But, you know, there's issues in the current situation with the healthcare system in Northern Ireland that it can't link up. And if you, especially if you have a dual diagnosis or more than one medical condition, it's especially complicated because you do need the teams able to communicate effectively and link in to provide, you know, a holistic all-over care.
And the reality for you, the consequences for you of being on a waiting list, Felicity, you've been telling me is that you've now got a permanent disability where it otherwise might not have been. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, so I had a history of an eating disorder and I had osteopenia. So osteopenia is sort of the middle stage before it becomes osteoporosis. Osteoporosis isn't reversible. And osteopenia can be reversible. I was waiting so long that the osteoporosis is now no longer reversible, and I have early stage kyphosis, which is basically where your upper back and your neck, you start to bend forward, so you get a bit of a hump at the top of your back. You know, I'm 28. This is sort of, you know, I have the bones of someone who would be 90. So if I take a tumble or if I take a fall or if I twist my ankle, I have to go to A&E to get everything checked. Because when I've been to minor injuries before, because of the severity of my osteoporosis, they sent me to A&E.
So you now have what permanent disability?
So I have osteoporosis. I have, well, I have multiple permanent disabilities now. I have fibromyalgia. I was navigating my way through the mental health system in Northern Ireland, and when I moved over to Wales, I finally got a diagnosis of autism, which if I'd been in Northern Ireland, I'd still be on the waiting list for that. I'm aware of other people who are waiting for adult diagnosis in Northern Ireland. In fact, I've been lucky that I've actually managed to access post-diagnostic counselling, which as far as I'm aware is near impossible to get in Northern Ireland. The difference has been, you know, night and day, but the problem is I got lucky in that when I applied to university, I was able to get some funding, which allowed me to move. Other people don't have the option of moving and leaving Northern Ireland to access care. But it's placed me in a catch-22 because I would like to come home. My family, all my loved ones are in Northern Ireland. That was where my support network was. I had to give all of it up because I was at risk of dying if I stayed. And, you know, I don't know if I can return home with the situation as it is with the healthcare. I'd like to, but I would risk losing the quality of life that I've managed to get over in Wales.
So you can't come home and you want to. And you can't come home because we don't have the care here that's appropriate for you.
Yeah, my hands are completely tied. And the thing is, it's not just me that was impacted. It was my family. It was my friends. And, you know, it's also the healthcare professionals themselves, because they want to provide care that is of a standard that they would want to receive themselves. And yet, you know, we're missing about 2,800 nurses currently in Northern Ireland. It's being filled with agency staff who, you know, bless them, they try, but they don't know the patients as well as maybe someone who's aware of sort of someone who comes in repeatedly, like I was. You know, there were staff in A&E who I knew quite well because I was there. At one point, I think I near reached triple figures for admissions in 1 year to hospital. I was a frequent flyer, so to speak. So I got to know the staff. I got to see the issues on the ground. And this isn't something that's just snuck up on the health service. This has been a long time coming. It's been very clear to people who have been working in the NHS. It's been very clear to patients. And I don't really see why politicians haven't actually acted before now and done something. Because of the way it is now, I'm not sure how it could be salvaged without a large cash injection. And even then, that has to be spent properly and in the appropriate places to actually make it work, because they have attempted to sort waiting lists in the past.
And you've told me this morning, Felicity, that you now have a permanent disability because of waiting lists in Northern Ireland. You must be furious.
I was furious at the time. Now I try to channel the upset and the annoyance about that into trying to fix things. I think my annoyance more now is that I know that this is affecting other people right now in Northern Ireland. This could potentially impact my sister or my brother or my mum. I know of people who are friends of mine who it's impacting right now, who are struggling to access services, who are struggling to get to the end of waiting lists. And seeing what is possible elsewhere in the UK, and Wales isn't the best in the UK, so it's the third worst. Northern Ireland comes next. In comparison to the third and the fourth worst, Wales is brilliant. There's a walk-in physiotherapist in the hospital right beside me. I could go any day. I could go right now if I wanted to see a physiotherapist, and yet there's people back home who are struggling to see anyone to get to the end of any waiting list. This isn't to say that, you know, Wales is perfect. There's still issues in the system. Obviously, there's going to be issues in the system, but it's just far easier to navigate. And when you're unwell and struggling, and your family are struggling to, you know, navigate a system, making a system easier to navigate is amazing. You know, you don't have to put so much energy into it.
Do you think there's any political party in Northern Ireland that would have the ability or desire to really fight for someone like you?
I'm not so sure. I do a radio show at the university, and we went through everyone's manifesto recently, and disability itself as a topic wasn't necessarily coming up in the manifestos. There's a lot of discussion sort of around health and welfare, but specifically it's not really there. It's a bit vague. I think when it comes to an election time, they're going to say stuff. You know, words are easy. Actions are where it's at, and I wouldn't want to say any particular party is definitely going to do anything until I see them do it. Because I've learnt, unfortunately, in the Northern Ireland healthcare system that I don't get my hopes raised anymore, because generally, if I got my hopes raised that, yes, I was going to get to the end of a waiting list, something would generally come along and dash it. And it's just easier to expect nothing. And then if you get something, you know, that makes your day. I set my sort of expectations really low.
My goodness. How depressing is that? You sound quite young, Felicity.
Yeah, I'm 28.
A 28-year-old can't come home to Northern Ireland, sets her expectations so low because she doesn't expect very much to be delivered in Northern Ireland. My God. Felicity, thank you. Thank you. I wish you well for the future. Good morning. 0330 80 55 55, if you want to react to that today. The text 81771, the email nolan@bbc.co.uk. There are a lot of people contacting me on Twitter today at Stephen Nolan.